Bible passages that have to do with our nation. And though God spoke these words to the children of Israel, they certainly apply to us as a nation and to other nations. In 2 Chronicles we read, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, we all know we got a lot of problems going on in the United States of America, don't we? And what used to be called a Christian nation, it has been drifting away from walking with God. And if we want to see things different, then God's people need to be about praying for our nation and becoming faithful servants as God would have us to be. Every nation that exists did not come about by accident, but it is instituted by God, as we read in Romans 12 through 13. God says in His Word, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear and the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." And you know, sometimes when you look at governments, it's kind of hard to want to follow them, because you see they make some terrible mistakes at times. But then you stop to look at it. Think of parents. God has given parents a responsibility of caring for their children. How many parents do you know that are perfect parents? I don't think you can find a perfect parent. But that doesn't cause you to no longer be a parent as a parent. That's your job. That position has been established for you by God, and you are to carry out what God wants you to do in that position. The same way in the government. The government has a job. Now, it doesn't always do everything right, and sometimes, many times it can be very corrupt. But nevertheless, it does not cease to be the servant that God has put in place to carry out His will. Now, they don't always do it either. And so we as citizens have a job. We are to listen and to do what the government is, like the laws that have been set. We are to follow them. And the only time we can say no to what the government really says to do is if they tell us we can no longer talk to people about Jesus Christ. And we have to just keep it to ourselves. And by the way, there are some countries that say that, but Christians don't listen to that message, because God's authority is above the government's authority. And what did Peter and John say when they were told, "Don't you talk about Jesus anymore," and it as the risk of their own life? And they said, "We can't help but speak those things which we have heard and seen. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved." We have to take and carry out what Jesus said. Go make disciples of all people. to bring the message of hope and salvation. That's our job as God's people. But as citizens, we are to follow the laws, even though we may not always like those laws, as long as they are not contrary to what God has commanded. And sometimes it's pointing out in chapter 12 of Romans that sometimes people want to take things into their own hand, and God says, don't do that. He says, I'll take care of it. He says, don't get revenge. And how does he take care of it? He goes on to talk about the government. They're his servants. They're supposed to be there to punish the evildoer, the wrongdoer. Again, we know that doesn't always happen as it should. But we live in a sinful world, and we need to pray that God would change the hearts of those who are in positions of authority. And St. Paul, who wrote this epistle, wrote at a time when Romans were in charge, and they didn't always do things right. And Peter wrote about obeying the government also. And then God says to, it's told to his chosen people, how it would be with them if they would just listen to him and walk in his ways and keep him first. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years and to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether you or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then fed you with manna, which neither you nor your descendants had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And you know, when I read that part of Scripture, I keep thinking, boy, just think of America. Isn't it a land of a lot? A very lush land that God has given us, and it's a beautiful country in which we live. But God goes on to say, he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. In other words, we should thank him for our nation in which we live. He says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. God was telling the Israelite people, I'm going to take you into a land that's going to be wonderful and great. And I always like to think of it this way. We'll make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. You don't have need of anybody else, says things. He said, I'm going to supply everything. And when you stop to look at our nation, hasn't God blessed us with so much? And what does God say? What did He tell the Israelite people? He says, when you start getting these things, don't say, look what I have done. I got it. Yes, many people say, well, I got what I got in life because I worked hard for it. Well, what enabled you to work hard for it? Did you say, God gave me all these things? He has really blessed me. And I don't deserve it, but He has blessed me far beyond what I can imagine. What a wonderful and a gracious God we have. But many people think of their wealth as theirs rather than as God's gift to them. And they have it only because God gave it. I think it's sort of like the rain. What would happen if you got no rain? The crops would have all died, wouldn't they? Well, who provided the rain? Who causes the crops to increase? Oh, you got to go out and plant it. But who gave you the ability to get out on your tractor and to drive it and to do the things that you do or whatever job you're in? Who gave that to you? God. And He's given us this wonderful nation in which to live. A nation maybe too often we take for granted. Oh, it's not a perfect nation. But it's a nation that God has given us, and He has blessed us well with many things. And then in Timothy, St. Paul wrote, and when it comes to our nation and when we think of our leaders, and you know, we all have opinions about our president and about other presidents and about people in positions of authority and that. But no matter who it is, Paul urges Timothy and he urges us to do this. He says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. For kings, we could say for presidents there. And all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. How many of us take time to pray for our president every day? You know, we need to pray for people. And we should do it with thanksgiving. Boy, that's kind of hard, especially for anybody, to pray with thanksgiving if they make our lives miserable and we totally disagree with them, right? It's hard to pray for them. Well, we should pray for them. You know, many times when we pray, we say, well, God, if you just change that person and make them the way I want them to be, then I could like them, right? Wrong kind of a prayer. We should say, God, please change me and help me to love that person no matter what. Because that person is in that position by your authority. And you love that person. I may not feel like I love a certain person, but God loves them. How much does He love them? He wants everybody to be saved, to come into the knowledge of truth. He wants them to know that He cares about them. Oh, He doesn't agree with their sins, just like He doesn't agree with our sins. But He loves them. And He wants us to pray for them. And you know, we need to pray that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior. That they would make decisions that would really be for the benefit of the nation and not for personal gain. We need to pray with a caring attitude for our president, for those who serve public offices, knowing that all of these things have been established by God. And yes, there is corruption that's going to take place and things that are going to be wrong. But you know, and we can't give our approval to that, but do you do everything right? Do you make no mistakes? Do you ever not do anything wrong? Do you become greedy and selfish? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we confessed earlier, I blew it. I have sinned. And we need to ask God to change our hearts and our lives so that we care about all people. In the Voice of Martyrs magazine, I have read many stories of where people who have been persecuted by people who have even been sponsored by the government and been treated very unfairly. And one of the stories I read here just recently was where a young man who went back to the people who had shot him 7 times in the Abden area. He lived. But he went back to those people. And know what he said to them? Even though they'd done all these terrible and wrong things. He says, God loves you. And so do I. And he pulled up his shirt and says, you shot me 7 times. I should hate you. But I don't. I want to tell you what God did to me and how he changed my life. And he begins to tell them about Jesus. And so God wants us to pray. He wants people to know that he sent Jesus for everybody, even the worst of people. And Paul said that we should pray with thanksgiving. And that sometimes can be hard. Thankful for what we have and the country in which we live. And with that, why don't we take a moment to pray? And that is expressed in John 3:16 and 17, where we read, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world to save the world through him. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior? There are so many people in the world who don't even know about Jesus. And in the gospel reading, what did Jesus do? He sent out the 72. And what were they to do? They were to preach the kingdom of God, which involved repentance and forgiveness. And when people believe in Jesus, they have a new life. They become a member of God's family, of his kingdom. And that is a wonderful thing. And God wants that for everybody. He wants everybody to be in his kingdom, no matter who they are or what they have done. He says, God so loved the world. That's everybody, isn't it? That he gave, and that's a gift, his Son. That when we believe in him, we'll not perish, but we're going to go to heaven. And that's wonderful. And when I think of the next words, I think of those in John 3:16. That's what Jesus came for. He came to save us, didn't he? But the next mission is part of our mission, too. I think it's our job. It said he didn't come into the world to condemn it. Why? Because it was already condemned. But he came into the world to save it. And isn't that the mission of the church? The world is condemned. And Jesus sends us out on a saving mission to bring hope and life to people who live in death and darkness. To give hope to those who don't know that God loves them, that Jesus gave his life for them. And in the book of Romans it says, how can they know if nobody tells them? We need to tell them. That's what the church is about. It's in Christ that we have been given new life. And St. Paul wrote it to this way to the Christians in Ephesus. He said, as for you, you were dead. That's past tense. He's writing to Gentile Christians. He said, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. Paul is making a true statement. He says, we've all been in that death kind of a thing, doing the wrong things. He said, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But then the good news. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, to me, that book, chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, is a real wonderful good news chapter. We were dead in sin. God made us alive. And now we are God's kids. We're His family. And we are God's family because of Jesus, who has become our Lord and Savior. We belong in His kingdom. And we begin to live differently and think differently. As Paul said, when we become Christians, be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And we begin to think from a Christian perspective, from God's perspective. Oh, it's a long time, and we got a long time to grow in this world, to learn to be more like Jesus in our everyday actions. But when we fail, when we sin, we know He doesn't desert us. He's there for us. We're God's kids. We're His family. And He wants others to be brought back into His family. He has paid the redemption price with His life, with His death, and with His resurrection. And for that we say, to God be the glory. We thank Him that He has made us His children. And let's sing that, to God be the glory. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that good news? You've been made God's family. But you got a job to do. What is it? To show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness, who has called you out of sin, into His marvelous light. And who is that marvelous light? It's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the light of the world. And He came to give us life and to give it abundantly. And He wants us to tell others what God has done for us. Because He wants to bring us back into His family. When Adam and Eve sinned, they no longer were in God's family, but they became members of Satan's family. And Jesus came to rescue us so that we would no longer be in Satan's family, which only led to destruction, but in His family, in His kingdom, so that we could be with Him forever and ever in eternity. Jesus wants that for everybody, to be with Him. Hell was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. And God wants us as His children to do everything we can to share the good news with through mission work and on an individual basis. You know, you can't make people believe, but you can tell people what Jesus has done for you. How He has changed your life and how He gives you hope that is going to be forever, that yes, none of us want to die, but when we die, we can say, yes, I'm going to go to heaven. It's not because we lived a perfect life. It's because Jesus lived a perfect life. And He has taken away my sin. He did it all in Calvary, and He did it for them. And when we accept Jesus, we begin to live differently as God's people. And we have been so blessed, as the psalmist says. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He made known his way to Moses, his deed to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Well, to God be the glory. In him we have forgiveness, and we have the blessings of his being with us. No matter what happens in life, he will never desert us. What a wonderful and a gracious God we have. He's given us this beautiful nation in which we live, and he has given us his, made us members of his kingdom through faith in Jesus. Amen.